Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and the first guest I have today is so delightful. You are going to have so much fun meeting her. And who cannot love a site called Diary of a Quilter? I mean, don't we all think of ourselves like that? You know, like if we blog or we just journal our quilts, you know, the diary is like all about that. And this blog is run by the super cute Amy Smart. She does wonderful tutorials, she writes patterns, and she's a contributing editor for Moda's Bake Shop book, Sweet Celebration. So if you have that, you can check it out. She's going to talk to us about, you know, quilting and communities and online things. So hi, Amy, how are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm good.
This is so exciting to have you on here and talk.
Well, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, I was reading your blog and I was looking at some of your sort of background. You know, a lot of people have an about page, and you were talking about being a closet quilter. What did that mean?
You know, I think the main reason I felt that way is because at the time, a few years ago, I didn't feel like I had a lot of friends that quilted. I think there was this perception among my generation that sewing was something their grandmas did, and I just didn't have a lot of real life friends who did that. Mm-hmm. And so I was always kind of a little sheepish about my hobby because I hadn't connected with other people who shared my same obsession with fabric.
And then you found the internet cruising around that there were like a lot of people like you.
Yes. That was such a fun discovery. I still remember, it's about 4.5 years ago, first discovering blogs, mm-hmm. and kind of other mommy blogs or things like that. And then when I discovered there were people writing about their quilting and sewing and the latest fabric collection that was coming out, I was so excited. I think I told my husband I had felt like I'd found a bunch of new best friends. Even though I didn't know them personally, I felt connected to them because I shared the same hobby and passion.
I know. You know, when I think about even, you know, I've sewed for a really long time, and you're right. Sometimes it's hard to find the people who do the hobby, no matter what your hobby is. Because when I sewed, nobody sewed that. I mean, I made my clothing for work and nobody else sewed but me. But it's like, well, it's nice to be able to chat it with other people.
To have other people who get why you enjoy it so much.
So you decided to sort of jump in and do your own blog. You know, was that because you loved what other people were doing? Why did you decide to start? Because, you know, a lot of people are blogging now.
Yeah, I think I initially started just because I enjoyed that interaction. Well, I enjoyed seeing what other people had to share. I loved seeing, I loved the inspiration I got from other people and seeing their creations or their projects they were working on. And I thought, oh, I think I'd like to share what I'm doing too. And so I think that's how it originally got started, is just that desire to share and also just to connect with these people that I had grown to really enjoy.
And it is a way to document. Do you document your quilts
Yes.
any other way?
You know, I remember I've always taken a picture of my quilts, but if I made one for a gift and I'd give it away, I'd take a picture. And so maybe it started with that a little bit too, just as a way to record what I'd made, especially if I was giving the quilt away. Mm-hmm, and so, it's become a nice record. And especially as my children have grown in the process, you know, I kind of can look back and see, oh yes, this was when we moved, or this was when somebody, you know, was misbehaving this time I was trying to work, or, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. I have a friend who actually made a book from, like, one of the years of her blog posts.
Oh, what a great... That's something I need to do something like that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It was fabulous. It was really fabulous. So you love to teach. Tell me what you like about teaching, because you have great tutorials, everything from learning to quilt to, you know, craft projects, you know, with fabric. Why do you like to teach?
You know, I think maybe it stems from wanting my friends to sew. Because I think my favorite part of teaching is introducing new introducing people to quilting, teaching beginners and introducing them to this hobby. It's such a great creative outlet and a way to express your personality. And so I just love, I love sharing that with other people and helping them build confidence and find that they can, and you don't have to be a perfect seamstress or just a perfectionist even to enjoy quilting. It can be a very forgiving art, and I love sharing that with other people. And so I used to teach beginning quilting classes at a fabric shop where I worked, a local quilt store. And I think that's where I started that desire, and just I loved seeing people catch that vision and fall in love with it. And then I think that just translated naturally into my blog. I wrote a series for beginners, basically, mm-hmm. and it's just a whole series of tutorials from picking fabric and what is a fat quarter and how to use a rotary cutter mm-hmm. to laying out your fabric. And it's just very simple. And it's, mm-hmm. it's a whole series from, so how to make a quilt from beginning to end. And it's been so rewarding to hear people tell me, oh, I learned to quilt from reading your tutorials. And I just love it.
And, you know, there's every day there's somebody who wants to learn.
Yes, I think it's such a wonderful hobby. And I think people are, it's so fun to see it continue to build this momentum of a new generation of quilters, but not, you know, from all ages too, just mm-hmm. finding the joy that comes from this hobby.
I also find people who have not quilted for a long time and come back into it for, you know, maybe they've retired or
right.
they've just had a change in career, so they feel like they want to reconnect to their creativity. So, you know, it's a lot different if you quilted 15, 20 years ago
right.
than it is now.
There's so many new gadgets and tools yes. and fabric.
And like the tutorials you have all on your site called diaryofaquilter.com, so people can
yes.
go there. Now, tell me about your project in the Moda Bake Shop book, Sweet Celebrations.
Oh, that was fun. I actually got to contribute three projects. Two of them are small. One's like a father. The book is centered around holidays and seasons and mm-hmm. You know, celebrations, birthdays, and graduations, things like that, and so I contributed a wall hanging for Father's Day. It's neckties and bow ties, and then another one for Valentine's Day that's called Love Notes, and it's pockets. So I made it kind of with my family in mind, with pockets where people could write notes or leave Valentine's for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite project is a gratitude quilt, kind of in connection with Thanksgiving, and I embroidered on the blocks, kind of in a signature block style, and mm-hmm. I embroidered things that I'm personally grateful for. So it was a very personal quilt. It was fun to, something I'd always wanted to make, and it was fun to finally have that motivation to do it, and I'm glad it got to be part of that book.
Yeah, the book is really interesting because there are a lot of step-outs of photos, step-by-step photos, just like you would do on your blog.
Yes, yeah, it's an interesting layout. It's very, I think it makes it very user-friendly, good, lots of photos. And so as someone who's new or maybe not as confident in their sewing or quilting skills, I think mm-hmm. it's very user-friendly that way.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's what attracts people to the way a lot of people write tutorials on their blogs or their free tutorials is a lot of us work in step-outs showing you, mm-hmm. you know, the whole process that way versus traditional books tend to have a little bit more diagram oriented.
Right. And then I think those photos make it very colorful and it's
yes.
fun to look at. It's fun to, I don't know, I think you just get the inspiration from those pictures.
They do. They do. Now I'm curious, do you have a few tips for someone who, you know, like you has, you know, think back a little bit to before you had your blog, you know, what can you give a tip or two about how somebody could start their own blog?
You know, I think blogging, it's a fun way to share. I think quilting's so fascinating. It's always been such a social hobby. You know, you think back to Quilting Bees or the charitable quilting events where people get together and kind of just bring a community together. And it's so interesting to see this happening with social media. And so I think even beyond a blog, there's so many ways to connect with people, whether Flickr is a great way of finding a community where it's, you can look for quilting swaps or quilt alongs. There's, you know, Facebook, All People Quilt has a great Facebook site where you can interact and share with, get to know people that way. And I think the best way to grow a community or start a blog and grow is to be willing to share, to share, find ways to help other quilters and share what excites you. And I think that's contagious and people enjoy connecting and building those relationships. So lots of, you know, I think another recent phenomenon is Instagram, which is on phones, you know, that app for phones. And there's this crazy community there of people sharing their projects and starting quilt alongs. And I think it's fascinating, all the different ways you can connect with other people.
The best part is you can do what works best for you. So
exactly.
Like if you're out and about and really your phone is the best way, then you might find quilters on Instagram sharing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're, you know, you tend to only use a computer that's in your house, you know, maybe then your Flickr or Facebook are fun ways
right.
to go.
Yeah, I think there really are so many options. Like you said, you can find what works best for your lifestyle, your schedule, and
yeah, very
great.
Fun.
This,
I mean, and just jump in, right? Just to be fearless.
Yeah, I'd say that. Just be fearless. Yeah. Just, you know, tell people you like their what they're sharing, and they'll want to know you too. I think it's contagious.
Amy, this has been so great. Thanks for coming on and chatting.
Oh, thanks for having me, Pat. It's been a lot of fun.
So everybody can go visit Amy at diaryofaquilter.com and see some of the fabulous quilts she's sharing right now. We'll be right back after this break.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Dev Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am so delighted to have Allison Harris of Cluck Cluck Sew. She's here with me today. We're going to talk about style and simple construction and what any quilter can do so that your quilts look like $1 million. Allison also is a busy mom. She has children at home and runs this business. So, you know, she might give us a few tips on how to fit all this quilting stuff into your life. So, hi, Allison.
Hi.
So,
how are you?
Tell me a little bit about how you got started with a pattern company and this really fun name that you have, Cluck Cluck Sew.
Yeah, so I started sewing and putting everything on my normal family blog, just showing pictures of my projects, and my family blog started to get a little cluttered, so I made the sewing blog, and I grew up with chickens, and so the name just kind of fit.
So you grew up with chickens?
Yeah, I grew up with chickens, not a ton of chickens. We always had about 10 to 15, but they were like my pets. I carried them around, and it was silly, but I loved chickens and that kind of farm life, so the blog name came, and I kind of grew from there. I started doing tutorials, and then tutorials kind of turned into patterns, and I was making up patterns for myself to sew, so I thought, why not put them into, write them down and sew them. So that's kind of how the pattern company came to be.
I know. It's funny. These things just evolve, don't they?
I know. Yeah, they do.
One of the things that you and I talked about is that you were just super passionate about picking fabric, that's one of the things that, really is your favorite part about quilting, but just also what you love to share and you do that sort of has your unique eye. Can you tell me a little bit about how you select fabric? How do you shop for fabric?
Yeah, so that's my favorite part, but it's also the part that takes me so long when I'm making a quilt because I really don't like to just use one line of fabric. And so many of the fabrics today go so well together. The colors coordinate. And so I really like to pull from lots of different lines, lots of different manufacturers. But when I'm making a certain quilt, I really try to keep within having, a large scale and then a small scale and a stripe and a polka dot. And, kind of keeping in mind that I don't want too many of the same scale or color, just to keep it a little bit fresh. But that's how I kind of go about it. And the same way when I'm fabric shopping, I tend to buy a lot of basics, like dots.
So basics like in tonals or?
Like polka dots and, things that can be used in any manufacturer's large scale print and can blend really nicely with lots of different things. So yeah, that's my favorite part, and I really try to push not using just one manufacturer and try and getting out of your comfort zone a little bit when it comes to choosing fabrics.
Now, do you find that you work in a particular sort of colorways? I mean, I'm looking at your blog and I know your work, but you don't work really in primitives and folk art and,
A
lot of browns and that. But you have more clearer colors and oranges and aquas.
Yeah, I'm more of a true colors. My home is really neutral. I'm a really white person. So I think that's one way to bring color into my life, and I really like the aquas and true greens, and I love red and navy and blue. So, those true colors really add to my life, and I'm always making baby quilts, and so I love, what's better than a fun, bright baby quilt to give away. So, I love those bright, saturated colors.
And do you use a lot of solids when you do neutrals, or are you doing something that still has a little print in it?
Both. I like a little bit of print, but I also do, I usually throw in at least one to two or a handful of solids in every quilt I make. It really brings the pattern to life and lets your eye see the pattern that you're making versus just a mishmash of fabrics.
Right. I mean, and I love your pattern names. Oh my gosh. Spin Cycle, Looking In, Shortcake. These are such fun names.
Yeah, they're fun. Most of them my husband comes up with. So I just kind of show him a picture and, okay, come up with a name. And he does. He comes up with some really great ones. So I can't take credit for all the pattern names. He does most of that.
Well, that's a lot of fun. So you actually create the pattern, the quilt first, and then you go looking for its name.
Yeah, usually I have like a draw-up or, an illustrator picture, and so then I kind of look at it and stew over it for a little while until something clicks and sticks. Mm-hmm.
And so your patterns tend to be very doable. They're you know, not overly complicated from what my standpoint.
Yeah, I tried to do a beginner friendly. When I was first starting, I tried to tackle it was like my second quilt, and I tried to tackle a Calf Fawcett, or however I can never say his name right, how a pattern that he had done that was so complicated. It was a beautiful quilt. But I tackled it, and it was way too hard, and I was so discouraged. Mm-hmm. So I really tried to come out with patterns that I can do as a busy mom and that other people can do that won't leave you discouraged and that you can do, you know, in a weekend or a couple weekends. And, mm-hmm. And I only have one pattern that's templates, and it's still fairly easy, but, you know, can leave you with a feeling of being proud that you made it and not feeling discouraged, so you never want to quilt again, or it doesn't get shoved in a box in the closet.
Yeah, that's not a good option. Yeah, we don't like that part.
Yeah, and they're done that.
And do you think, like, part of this is because you do have, you know, you have small children at home right now, and, you know, you have to fit your time in to quilt?
Yeah, that's a challenge. That's one of my biggest challenges, is trying to juggle and balance what I want to do in my hobbies, fitting it into my schedule. But it, you know, it is important to fit it in and to feel like you have an outlet, and that's really my outlet, my creative outlet. So I try to squeeze it in.
So how do you do that? Do you quilt when they're asleep? You trade off, somebody takes your kids for the day and then you can sew all day?
Well, I wish. When my kids were younger, baby, mm-hmm. I would sew pretty much when they were asleep. But now that they're older and they're not napping as much, I really mm-hmm. just try to fit it in. And so they'll play on the floor. My sewing area is right in the middle of my household. So I can watch them playing Legos. And I sew in spurts. I'll do, you know, 15 minutes while dinner's cooking. I can sew up blocks and press. And so I think by doing little spurts here and there and really letting your kids see that it's important to you, and my kids know not to touch my sewing stuff, and they've grown up with it, so they've learned that. And but I think it's important that they see, especially for a daughter, that they see that the mom has, you know, something that she loves and a hobby besides just cooking and, you know, being the mom, and something that for herself. So it's hard to fit it in, but worth it when you do.
And I mean, and people who have full-time jobs, it's the same thing. You know, you come home, you might be tired. You might come home and have little children, too, when you after that full-time job.
Double whammy. But if you take, you know, even 15 minutes, even 10 minutes, mm-hmm. just to, you know, sit down and make a block, and it really does, it clears your mind, and you just feel so much better, even after I just sit down for a short time, even if that's all I do that day on the quilt. But that's how all of my quilts get finished. So
I think that's an excellent point, Allison, is that you just do it. I think sometimes people are like, oh, I'm too tired. But don't you find, like, if you just sit down and you just sort of make yourself start, you relax?
Yeah, it's like any, you know, big goal that you want to do. If you want to make a king-size quilt, you got to make it one block at a time. And so really just making a block here and there does add up. So that's kind of the way I try to look at it. And don't tackle anything that's way too hard. If you're tight on time and money, then making an elaborate king-size quilt is just not the best idea, and you're going to be discouraged. So you start, you know, be reasonable about what you can make and have the time and money to make.
That's excellent. Excellent point. You have wonderful tutorials also. You have great step outs, lots of photos. I like your one on finishing a quilt.
That's been one of my most popular. I need to redo that one. I did that one a long time ago, but but it's when I was first starting, there wasn't as many as there is today tutorials and YouTube videos for finishing a quilt, and that was really frustrating for me because I really thought that you still had to take quilts to a long arm to finish even a baby quilt. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that I could finish a quilt from start to finish on my own machine at home. So I tried to make that for other people, and I also, you know, include a link to that in my pattern so that even a beginner can actually finish what they start instead of, you know, letting it sit for a long time before someone mm-hmm. can help them get it finished.
Yeah, excellent. I think people should check that out. It's cluckclucksew.com. And so tell me one last thing. When you go to a show, Allison, what kind of quilts are you drawn to?
I'm drawn to clean lines, where you can really see the pattern stand out, saturated colors. I wouldn't say necessarily modern contemporary mm-hmm. quilt, because I really do love the traditional and antique, and, you know, I get a lot of joy out of those, too. So just kind of a mishmash, but I do love the clean lines and, you know, a simple pattern. I'm not a big applique motif person, mm-hmm. But yeah, I love a little bit of everything.
Well, this has been wonderful, Allison. Thank you for coming on and sharing.
Thank you.
Everybody visit Allison Harris at cluckclucksew.com. We're going to be back right after the break.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the We Woven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Now, how can you resist picking up a book whose title is S is for Stitch? As soon as I saw that book, I'm like, oh, baby, let me pick this up because this has got to be good. Anybody who loves the word Stitch is going to just love Christine's Chipperex book. Christine has got a wonderful blog called Pretty by Hand, and she is taking a lot of her work, how she stitches and embroiders and quilts and patchwork, and put it all into a beautiful, beautiful book called S is for Stitch. So I asked Christine if she would come and talk to us today, and she's here. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit, how did you learn to sew? Where did you learn?
Oh, when I was really little, my mom, bless her, had the notion that she wanted her girls to have all kinds of practical skills. So she taught my sister and I at a very young age how to do the practical things like sewing on buttons and little mending jobs, but I mostly remember having to sew all my brownie badges onto my uniforms. So I perfected some stitches with a lot of brownie badges.
Well, that would do it, wouldn't it? You must have been prolific in brownies. You had a lot of badges.
It's all about the badges.
All about the badges. So at some point, you know, today I have everybody who's on the show is a blogger. So that's really fun because we get to see a lot of your work. When did you start to blog, or, you know, why did that happen for you?
Oh, well, I'm coming up on my two-year anniversary as a blogger, and I only found out about blogs 3 years ago. I was a little late to the party, but a dear friend of mine introduced them to me, and when I started reading some of these amazing blogs, I was completely addicted to the creativity that I saw online and started thinking that I somehow needed to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. So you just jumped in.
I did. Yeah, I did a little bit of research, took a course, got some books because, you know, I wanted to do it right. And when it comes to craft blogs specifically, photography is king, right? It's all about the look, the seeing what the projects look like. So I try really hard to do a good job. But, yeah.
Oh, your blog is gorgeous. It's
well,
just
thank
gorgeous.
You very much.
It's called prettybyhand.com. For those of you listening, go check it out. So when you decided you have all kinds of things on your blog, and your background is as a tech writer, which is what my husband's background is. So when you write your patterns, do you find that helps you?
Oh, it helped a lot. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in a job before I became a mom writing computer manuals, really boring stuff, but I really enjoyed the process of picking apart the details and, you know, where do you start? So I was the person asking all the technical guys, when do you press enter for computer instruction?
Yeah.
Right. So when it came to writing patterns for sewing, I already knew how to sew, and I had just accidentally developed the ability to write the instructions on what I already knew how to do. So it came quite easily, and I really enjoy the process.
Yeah, and I think that's key. You know, pattern writing is not for everybody, and so it's nice that you can do that part easily, just jump in with it.
I feel really lucky that I can do that, yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about your book.
Okay.
As is for Stitched. Oh, I love that title. it has an alphabet. It has adorable little projects. Why did you decide to write a book?
Oh, that's a really funny story. I actually did not start this book as a book. It was a few summers ago when I was on a holiday with my family, and we were miles and miles away from home for about a month, and I was panicking at the thought of not being able to use my sewing machine regularly. Mm-hmm. So the alternative was to lug all of my embroidery supplies, and of course they're a lot more portable mm-hmm. than the sewing machine and the cutting mat and all that stuff. So I took it along with me and started playing around with the little ballerina tutu design, and I just got obsessed with it. I'm not exactly sure why, but it was so cute. I needed to do something with it. And I had all kinds of time on my hands while the girls were playing in the pool and stuff. So next thing I knew, I had this entire alphabet on my hands. And I had a lot of fun working with my girls, because whenever I was stuck for an idea for a letter, I would talk to them about it, and they'd give me some really good ideas. And So it was a bit of a collaborative effort, but I really had no plans to turn it into a book. I was just making it for fun, something for my girls to play with. So when we got home, I turned it into a quilt for them, which my daughter now owns on her bed. She still sleeps with it every night. I love that. Mm-hmm. and then I showed some friends, and, you know, I got a really positive response from it, and I thought, well, maybe this is good enough to be a pattern, because I hadn't written any of my own patterns at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned it into a pattern, and then I thought, well, you know, if I had a boy, I only have two girls, but if I had a son, I would need to make one for him too. So I designed a boy quilt, and then I started thinking, well, you know, maybe there is something here that somebody might want to turn into a book. So I ended up submitting my idea to C&T Publishing, and I was really surprised and delighted when they were so enthusiastic about it, and now I have a book.
And now you have a book. It's just gorgeous. It has, besides all the little embroideries, you show how to put them together. One of the things I'd like to, you know, I just love, it's got jump ropes and tornadoes for the boys. Christine, one of the things that you showed on your blog, and it might be in the book too, is how to transfer these embroideries onto a a heavier weight fabric, you know, something you can't see through for tracing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I try to avoid tracing through really thick fabrics. Recently, I've been making some Christmas ornaments, though. I made a bunch of felt ornaments. And I was, again, lucky enough to have a mom who was pretty smart at doing a lot of things. And I remember her working on some crewel embroidery when I was younger, you know, the crewel that was really popular in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Vivid memory of the sunflower panel in our dining room. But I remember when she was making it, and there were several layers to the sunflower, and she was tracing the design onto tissue paper. Mm-hmm. And then she'd pin the tissue paper onto the layers and stitch through the tissue paper, which is then easy enough to tear away. So it's definitely one of my favorite techniques to use for stitching through thick or non-transparent fabrics. There's a tutorial for it on my blog, and I'm surprised at how many people read it.
Oh, well, you know, being that it has been around a while, it's not something everybody has ever been exposed to if they've just started to stitch. It's not as common as tracing through the fabric.
That's right. It's not intuitive. And, you know, that's one of my favorite things about blogs, too, is that you're right. This is just a timeless art, and it's been around forever. But if you've never seen it or someone's never shown you how to do something, online is the place to look now. You can find just about everything there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It is.
So, tell me, what is your favorite part about making things?
Oh, for me, it's always been about the process of making. It's the creativity. I would rather make things than have them. I give away most of the things that I make. My house isn't big enough to keep everything that I make, but it's just a creative process. There are so many steps involved to making something. You know, there's the fantasizing about making something really pretty. There's planning out how you're going to do it. There's shopping for all of your supplies and your materials. Mm-hmm. There's the prep work, you know, the cutting, the tracing, the drawing, all that kind of stuff, and then the actual construction of it. And mm-hmm. yes, even the moments of frustration when you make a mistake mm-hmm. and you have to pull out that stitch ripper, and mine is never far away. But, you know, I even find that I learn from my mistakes, and it always makes me better when that happens. And then when you have something finished, you can look at this, and, you know, it's like a little journey that you've gone through with everything that you make. And then it's done, and then you move on to the next one.
I'm a lot like you. I like to make things. I mean, they don't need to have any particular purpose. You know, I want to enjoy it. I see something, I just want to make it. And then it's like, okay, now I need to make something else when that's done. Or
exactly.
Maybe I make something else before it's done. You know, I'm not saying, but that
might
happen.
Oh, yeah. I have my fair share of works in progress, too.
That's part of it,
I find. Sometimes it's just you get to a point in a project and it's not ready to be finished yet. It's okay to put it off to the side because you can still think about it in your mind. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with people that crafting is like therapy, right? If you can occupy your mind with things that you enjoy thinking about and problem solving and all that kind of stuff, go for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and don't you, sometimes when you're sitting, you know, that's when all the thoughts start happening because your brain is like relaxed.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Like ideas are start popping and then like I have to jump up and write notes or email people. It can be quite entertaining to watch me.
It is, but you know, it's exciting. It's invigorating. And if you have a creative spirit, that's where the joy is, right?
It is. It totally is. Now, we have just a couple more seconds. So tell me, I asked Allison this, what kind of quilts are you drawn to when you go to a show?
Oh, you know, usually the really, really spectacular ones for me are the ones that have a lot of hand piecing to them, a lot of intricate designs, traditional, too, is something that I'm really drawn to. I'm a traditional girl for some reason, and wow, there's some pretty amazing things at shows that just blow my mind.
Well, this has been wonderful to have you on the show, Christine. Thank you for popping in.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to chat with you.
Everybody visit Christine at Pretty by Hand and look for her book, S is for Stitched. We're going to take a little break and come back with the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. And have you ever heard of UFOs, unfinished objects that you might have? We just sort of alluded to that, Christine and I, that we might actually have more than one project going at the same time. Jody Sanders and Jennifer Keltner from American Patchwork and Quilting Radio chatted about UFOs. Let's take a listen.
Well, if you've been quilting for very long, you probably have some projects that you never finished, and we've affectionately called those UFOs or unfinished objects. If you do have some of those, like most of us do, don't be too hard on yourself about it. We all have those projects that we started with great gusto and for some reason just didn't finish. What we'd like to do today is kind of share with you some of our ideas for what to do with those UFOs. And the first thing that comes to mind for me is with some of the bigger projects that I started, maybe it was a bed quilt, and for whatever reason I just kind of lost interest in it, is that you can take the completed pieces that you have and make something smaller, like a table runner or maybe a placemat. Take those completed pieces you have and actually make them into something. Just do it on a smaller scale, and then you don't feel as overwhelmed of having all of those big pieces that you meant to do something with, but you just never got done for whatever reason.
That's right. I have a friend who says that sometimes her enthusiasm for the project runs out before the project is completed. So those are the ones that become my UFOs as well. And sometimes it's a matter of taste. Like I just don't like the color, or I had a plan for where I was going to use it and I moved and that wall space wasn't there anymore. And another suggestion for that is to use your UFOs if you have an unfinished, you know, top, or you didn't get the borders put on, or you have most of a piece done. Use that unfinished top as a canvas to practice your machine quilting on. We're all always striving to improve our machine quilting, whether it's at a sit-down machine or a long-arm machine. And you can use that piece to practice your machine quilting and try some new designs. And then bind it when you're finished and give it away as a charity quilt. There are lots of people who are looking for a warm blanket who don't necessarily care so much what it looks like or if it goes with their decor. They're using it for function. So don't throw it away. Give it away.
Yeah, that's a great idea. One thing that I've heard people talk about recently, both online and in Facebook, is join an online group. Join a support group. There are groups out there who their sole purpose is to encourage people to complete their UFOs. First, usually what they have you do is get a handle on how many UFOs you actually have. And I tried to do this a few years ago, and I think I stopped counting at about 30. But that's the first thing you need to do is admit you have a problem.
I think I would need a support group just to admit that I had a problem. So maybe that's the first step.
And then secondly, usually what they ask you to do is to make a plan. Come up with some kind of idea. For example, maybe you're going to complete one UFO a month. And then what they want you to do is to post your progress monthly. And it's kind of, it reminds me of like a diet or exercise support group that you know, has been very successful for years and years in that industry. And that is, you know, you're accountable to somebody. And if you do that every month, it'll be amazing. In a year's time, you could have 12 new projects. That's completed.
That's awesome. The other thing we need to remember is that you can give yourself permission to just not finish something. If you really don't like it, there are other things you can do. You can give away those unwanted projects or fabrics. There are local quilt guilds. Oftentimes at local quilt guilds, there's a UFO table where you can put your UFO and somebody else can pick it up. Or 4-H groups where kids are wanting to experiment with different techniques. And maybe there's a budding young quilter there who can't afford all the supplies that some of us have. And you can leave that project for someone else who might pick it up and want to finish it or take off. High school home economics classes also appreciate donated items and things that you can do. And I know here in our area in the office, we have a group that goes into a local women's prison and helps the prisoners develop some skills, some life skills, and some things that they can do to pass the time. And UFOs can also be donated to a group like that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I think sometimes we just need to step back and assess what really needs to be done. You know, if you really like to piece, you really like to make the quilt top, but then you're kind of done with it because you either don't like to do the quilting or you don't like to do the binding, and you maybe just never complete that project because you don't like that part of the process. Well, if you really step back and look and say, hey, this is why I didn't get this completed, find somebody who likes to do that part and either hire that out, have somebody else do the machine quilting and binding for you, or better yet, barter that with a friend. Find somebody who likes to do those things and you'll do the piecing for them and they'll do the quilting and binding for you. And then that's a win-win situation for both of you.
Absolutely. I know for me, I love to bind, and I've said this before, I would bind quilts, and I do sometimes bind quilts for other folks in the office, but my least favorite part is cutting it out. And so I have a friend that she'll cut things out for me and I'll bind her quilts for her, and I love that trade. It is the best, and it saves me from, you know, not having to do the part I don't like as much. The other thing you can do is organize an exchange. If just giving away your UFOs isn't your cup of tea, organize an exchange. It's, you know, it's true. One woman's trash is another woman's treasure, and something that your enthusiasm might be lost for, someone else might think, oh my gosh, I love that part. And maybe you've done some applique that you really didn't like the look of when you were finished, or you didn't like the motif you'd done, but somebody else who doesn't like to do the applique would pick up those applique blocks and finish them and make a treasure out of them. So you could invite your friends over to bring their UFOs and have a UFO party and have a fun afternoon of trading projects. I know a friend of mine does this with handbags that, you know, you buy that handbag and you think, I'm going to love this forever. And then after a few months, you're like, eh, not so much.
Yeah.
And so she trades handbags. But there's no reason you couldn't follow that same principle with your UFOs and just remind everybody when they bring their project that all the parts and pieces should be included. So if there's a pattern that goes along with it, you need those pieces and all the extra, you know, bits and parts that they bought to start with.
Yeah, I think that's really important because I know I've gotten things before too, and there was a part missing, either an applique piece or part of the instructions or something, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, I know why she never finished it, because it wasn't all here.
Right.
You know, what you could do is make something new out of it if you wanted to, too. You know, cut apart those units and make them into triangles or make them into diamonds. I think it's similar to string piecing. You've talked about doing that before.
Right. And I know we've had a quilt that we did some reverse applique on in the magazine, and we were cutting circles out of shapes that we had pieced together. And a lot of patterns, it seems like, call for you to piece together a foundation and then cut a shape out of that particular thing. I know we've done things where we've pieced hexagons together and you get sort of this, you know, misshaped piece. Or I know for me, you do a lot of hexagon piecing. For me, it's like, okay, I've done this. I can do it. I don't want to piece that many more together. But we've also had patterns where there was a bag, the body of the bag was cut out of a fabric essentially you had made out of piecing those hexagons together. So I think if we think about, you know, maybe you've pieced together a lot of triangle squares because they were going to be a part of a border or the center of a quilt, but then you didn't want to do anything with that. You could take that piece of pieced fabric, kind of make it sort of crazy quilt-like, and cut a bigger shape out of it. Maybe you cut out the cornerstones for a quilt or a big triangle square from that. And it looks a lot more intricate than the original pattern called for, but you made use of the piecing that you had already done.
And you're really making something new, you know, a brand new item out of something that you started with, something else, and you went a different direction.
Absolutely.
I guess the main thing is maybe just, you know, get it done. And if you want to do that quickly, take those completed blocks that you have and then just take a plain setting square that's that same size as your block. So for example, if you have a 12.5-inch block, cut a 12.5-inch solid piece of fabric and then alternate your completed blocks with the plain setting squares. And then you can get that larger quilt done in a much shorter period of time.
That's right. You get double the bang for your buck too. Your quilt gets instantly twice as big with half the piecing. I love that trick. Mixing in new fabrics is also important, I think, when you have UFOs. A lot of people that I talk to will say that, you know, they have a UFO because they ran out of fabric or they misjudged the amount of fabric they would need and they don't have just the perfect fabric. And I think mixing in fabrics, new fabrics, with an old palette of colors that you have, or maybe you chose something in the original palette that isn't your favorite color anymore. You've redecorated a room and you want to do something different with it. Don't be afraid to mix new fabrics in. We're always doing this kind of thing in color options that we feature in the magazine or online, in the color inspiration columns that we have in both Quilts & More and American Patchwork and Quilting. We really try to show you how to use what you have in your stash and to mix things in. And I always remember Lori Simpson of Minnick & Simpson saying, things that are too matchy-matchy, people always worry, you know, if they have a red and white quilt that they don't have just the right red. And actually, it's a more interesting quilt often if you mix it up and add multiple shades. So instead of trying to find one perfect fabric to fit in with what you have, maybe you add in three or four different fabrics and really mix it up and give that quilt the boost it needs to get to the finish line.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, if it's not the way, the project isn't going the way that you intended or the way that you thought, it's okay. Make it your own. Do something different. If you don't like the way the original designer assembled the blocks, redraft it. Do it a different way. Maybe they pieced it and you're more comfortable doing foundation piecing. Well, go ahead and redraft the pattern so that it's a foundation piecing pattern. Substitute color choices. Make it your own. Make it what you like and what you enjoy. Give yourself permission to play with the design choices. I think that's the one thing we find a lot of time with our readers is they think they have to make it exactly the way that the pattern's given. We want to encourage people, make it your own. Do it the way that you like it so that you enjoy it. And then you'll actually finish the project, I think.
Sure. And I think there's nothing wrong with mixing up the techniques that you use. Often we'll start a project, or I'll start a project, and maybe this is my own UFO problem, but often I'll start a project and it'll be a particular method of making something, a certain way of making triangle squares, or I'm trying a new technique or a new ruler or something like that. And you don't have to have the whole quilt made the same way. I mean, I know we encourage for accuracy and that you use the same ruler and, you know, cutting tools for a quilt so that everything comes out perfectly. But if you're mixing it up and finishing a project that maybe you haven't worked with in a long time, maybe you tried a way of making flying geese that just didn't do it for you. You found it more difficult than your favorite way. So mix it up. I mean, try something different and don't be afraid to sort of blend all those techniques in one quilt. Or maybe you're not happy with the way the points came together, and so you've got some places where the seams sort of don't line up the way that you wish they would. Well, add some embroidery to that. Add some crazy quilting, or use your machine decorative stitches to sort of, you know, cover up the obvious mistakes, or make them a design opportunity and put an applique over that part of the design. So we hope that we've given you some inspiration today for things you can do with your UFOs and make those UFOs into FOs, finished objects. And then you'll have something to take to show and tell the next time you go to your quilt guild meeting and can show off all the things you moved out. And what I always say is, once you finish a project, you've made room for more. So you can treat yourself to something new and a new project to start. I hope you have fun quilting.
So thanks so much for being here. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com and we'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.